Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from Let Your Kingdom Come, a study that I put together to trace the idea of the kingdom of God all the way through scripture and on into church history. What have we believed and been told about the kingdom of God? Well, we're in the book of Micah now. It's 700 BC, the kingdom and Micah. Micah and Isaiah that we just read were contemporaries. One can find passages that are quite similar in the two books, similarly thrilling. But then Micah also had some negatives to add first, as Isaiah did. In Micah chapter 1, behold, the Lord is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the field, places for planting a vineyard. I will pour down her stones into the valley, and I will uncover her foundations. All her carved images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with the fire. All her idols I will lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot, and they shall return to the pay of a harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable. For it has come to Judah. It has come to the gate of my people, to Jerusalem. Well, Micah, that is the Lord, is not too happy with the northern or southern kingdoms. He even calls the wounds incurable, death. But keep reading, Micah, and you will see that resurrection is in store also. First wounds, then death. But then revival, Micah 2, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Chapter 2's imagery of a sheepfold and a good shepherd certainly is not strange to us. And then the mention of someone coming through a gate brings us to Ezekiel's description of the temple grounds and the prince who serves under the Lord in that day. Micah 4, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But every one shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame. I will gather the outcast and those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant, and the outcast a strong nation. And so the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. And you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. Even the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Well, the first verses of Micah 4 are a quotation from Isaiah 2, word for word, but Micah has more of his own words to add in that chapter. We'll talk about the transition from millennial days to eternal days later. The use of the word forever here can include both. Notice again the gathering theme and the constant use of Mount Zion as a geographical marker pinning us to one place on the earth, meaning it can't be the new heavens and the new earth. We're still in this earth, in a place we know quite well. Micah chapter 5, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." Well, this is chapter 5's famous Christmas passage. Blends into a description of one who will be great to the ends of the earth. There's a theme. There's something we've been hearing regarding the coming king, the ends of this present earth. "Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples," as we continue in the chapter, "like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, that tarry for no man, nor wait for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted against your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off." So no more enemies to threaten Israel. This hasn't happened, I guess you know. Israel ruling over the Gentiles, the nations. Do you see it? Continuing in that same chapter, "It shall be in that day, says the Lord, that I will cut off your horses from your midst and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. You shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst, and I will thus destroy your cities. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury on the nations that have not heard." This hasn't happened, but it's coming. Everything that I just read is still future. No more war. Enough with idolatry. Unbelieving nations judged. And then Micah chapter 7, "Shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your heritage, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in days of old. As in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed of all their might. They shall put their hand over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall crawl from their holes like snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old." Chapter 7 it was of Micah, comparing the coming glories to the ones wrought when Israel was first delivered from Egypt. Part of that wondrous revelation will be judgment on nations, so severe that men will crawl into caves and under rocks to hide, as detailed in the book of Revelation. It's still coming. And above all, the great forgiveness of God for his people, the great determination to bless and to keep his promises to Israel will not be stopped, even with all of that nation's evils. Now, a couple other prophets who lived around the same time. Let's look at Amos. Amos, 700 BC, the kingdom in Amos. After nearly nine chapters of doom and gloom for Israel, Amos is led by the Spirit to join the restoration chorus. But first, the doom in Amos 2. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have despised the law of the Lord. They have not kept his commandments. Their lies lead them astray, lies which their fathers followed. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. These are serious charges, serious threats. And all is fulfilled and still being fulfilled. But as always with the prophets, this is not the end of the story. The end of Amos's prophecy sounds a whole lot different. Let's go to chapter 9. On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages. I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does this thing. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. So we see the chosen people ruling over Gentile nations. Wasted ruins rebuilt, and their stay is permanent. Nothing like this in history, past or present. Something is coming. Notice that a restoration of the tabernacle of David is coming. Amos prophesied while the temple of Solomon was still standing. That temple and David's tabernacle would all be destroyed. Yes, another temple, more than one, would come in the future, but it is the tabernacle, the tent of David, that housed the Ark of God in Jerusalem during that king's life, that is singled out for restoration. David is given prominence in more than one prophetic word about the kingdom. It is his kingdom, not Solomon's, of which the prophets speak. The line through Solomon ended in disgrace with Jeconiah. David's line through his son Nathan continues to this day in Christ Jesus. Well, there is one more prophet that prophesied during this time, but we're going to have to wait till next time for him, and that is the prophet Hosea. The prophet Hosea, still around 700 BC, the kingdom, and Hosea next time. Well, this content is also not available at Pasture Land yet, but it is available as a book at Amazon.com. You can download the PDF of this book right here at Sermon Audio at parts 1 and 2. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and this audio is being released on 9/20/22. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.